Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, December 5th, 2021. Pastor Zone is speaking. Today's message is entitled, For God So Loved the World. If you guessed it, our text comes to us from John 3:16. And now, here is Pastor Zone.
Well, I was thinking this morning, actually through the week, we're beginning our Christmas season. December is here, and we have several Sundays ahead of us. And I'm going to ask Jeff to speak. I'm going to ask Christopher to speak. And I'm going to ask some of you to come up here, and we'll let you know when, ahead of time, you know, to just simply say, what does Christmas mean to me? So we're gonna do some nice things here. And we're going to enjoy the festivities. So I've been doing this thing for now in this church for 41, 42 years. And what message can I possibly bring that I have not brought before? But of course, you don't even remember last Sunday's sermon, so why should I be concerned about last year's Christmas season? But still, I try to find something that will be new. And so I was asking myself, because I talk with myself all the time, and sometimes I even answer myself, which is certifiable, but that's perfectly fine. As we progress in this wonderful country of ours, secularism has taken over our thoughts and our radio and television and everything else, and we forget that the reason for this season is Jesus. That the reason we celebrate Christmas is because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this world. But of course, I heard someone of great authority, at least presence in this country, no longer referring to Thanksgiving, but Friendsgiving time. And I said, it's so bad when the seculars take over our domain. We should be stressing to the world that it is Thanksgiving to God. They come out saying that they were colonizing us and killing people. And, you know, I wasn't living there. So don't ask me to be responsible for something that I had nothing to do with. Today, I don't exploit people. We love people. Anyway, you know how it goes. It's just, what can I tell you? So anyway, so I thought, what would be the reason for the season, which is Jesus. And I'm going to have a very obscure text this morning, and I will not be dwelling too much on it, but reflecting on what I really think is important for us to remember about Christmas. So we're going into a book of the Bible that we don't really often read it, and we certainly don't even remember this verse. Let's put it up there in the screen. So if you have never read John 3:16, then you're in real hot water. But it's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Que dio a su Hijo unigénito, para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. You thought I couldn't do that, huh? Yeah, that's Christmas. It's Christmas. Four things about this text and how powerful it should be in our hearts. The first thing that I notice is the love initiated God. God initiated love. Not only that, when we go through scriptures, we find out that God is love. So God is love. And because God is love, we have Christmas today. Because God is love, we were blessed in immense ways. God's revelation to man is a God of love. Yes, there's justice involved, but it's based on love. And God's love is overwhelming, and it should just frighten us to see how wonderful his love can be. Our society, of course, does not really understand love except in the crudest ways possible. I don't include all of society, but the majority of society, when they talk about love, they go immediately to eros, they go to erotic things, they go to sexual misuse, they go that route and they call that to be love. Well, the Greeks had a word for that, it was eros. And there is such a thing as that type of love. Then there's a second type of love, which is phileo, which is brotherly love. When you love your brother, your sister, it's a love that does not include sex. It's not driven that way. And then there is, of course, agape love, which is the love of God. And God's love is so unique from the other two, is that it does not require that you love him back for him to love you. Because the two loves that I mentioned before, eros and philos, requires reciprocity. In other words, all right, I love you, but you must love me. If you don't love me, take a hike. You remember that when you liked her or you liked him? And and they kind of say, no, forget you. Well, then forget you. Well, that's not the love about that God is expressing to you and to me. It is a love that does not expect to be rewarded so that love can continue. It is constant all the way through. God never stops loving you or loving me. There will come a time of judgment, and God's love imputes, it pushes you to that place, and it shows you that there will be a time when God's love will turn into justice. But still, that's not the issue this morning. The issue is that today, God loves you and me, for God so loved the world. The world is the object of this love. So God initiates everything with love, and the mainspring is love, and is directed to the world. Now, let's review the world today and see all of the injustices that are going on and see all the stuff that we see right and left and we hear about. But God loves this world above all other that we know of. But all other, he loves the world. This world, this sphere, this place where we live, God loves the world and everyone in it. For God so loved the world. And in the world, he includes everything inside the world. There's no one left out of God's love. Everyone is loved by God. God loves everyone, the good and the bad. He says it. God, the God we serve, reigns on the rich and on the poor, on the godly and the ungodly. God is even in his love in nature. He loves everybody across the world the same way. He does everything he can so that you and I will have air right under our nostrils. That's how much he cares for you. There's air for you to breathe, whether you behave well or you did not behave well. Whether you're good, whether you're bad, you have air to breathe. And that's God's creation. That's God's work in your life. God, in such a wonderful way, does not exclude anybody. It is so inclusive that it frightens me. It's so inclusive that it frightens me because there's not one single human being that God does not love. Think about someone you don't love. Think about it. I'll give you 30 seconds. That's too much. Just think about it. All right? Well, God loves that person. And you know, you'd be even more frightened or maybe ashamed is that he loves you in spite of you not loving that person that you thought of. God loves you unconditionally. It is wonderful to know that God does not exclude anyone from his love. You know, when we hear testimonies of people who were lost in sin, people who did dreadful things, when people have gone down the wrong path in life, and society gives up on them completely, God does not. God loves you until the very end. He will never, ever, ever stop loving you. He loves you eternally. So no one is excluded. As a matter of fact, isn't it remarkable that you are not excluded from God loving you? I bet you I could think two or three reasons why God should exclude you. Because you're thinking the same thing about me. But God looks at you and he says, I love you. And I love you with an everlasting love. His love never diminishes. We said this some weeks ago, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Specifically, those of us who know the Lord, those who have come to know his great love and forgiveness of our sins. But there's something about God's love in the life of the Christian that ought to be mentioned, in that Christians, because they have been forgiven by the Lord, are very conscious of their shortcomings. A Christian knows when he or she has done wrong much quicker and faster than someone who does not know the tenderness and the love of God. And so there seems to be a moment of recognition of our imperfections. And sometimes we believe that God is walking out in us, or that we are no longer deserve the love of God because we have betrayed a love that is eternal and pure and perfect. But I want you to know that there's nothing you can do, nothing I can do, nothing, nothing that I can personally do that can move me or remove me from God's reach of love. Now, that's not give you a license to sin. No, that's not it. Just specifically in your life, even when you fall, God loves you and says, you know, if you sin, there's a way back. And the way back is if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He puts a reset button and you keep on living for God. Because the moment you came to the knowledge of God's love, he accepted you as you were, as you are, and as you will be. Nothing surprises God. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you, he loves you eternally. We said that there was nothing you could do that could remove God from loving you. But there's nothing anybody can do to you that God's love would be refused or taken from. And Paul goes to great lengths to explain this in Romans 8. No height, no depth, no creature created, nor angels, nor demons, no nothing. Things to come or things that are here, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Those are the clauses which are in Christ Jesus. Earlier he said that all things work together for those who love God. You and I love God. And whatever is going on in our lives, even when we make mistakes, even when we... slip and slide, I call it, you know. Even when you slip and slide, God causes those things that are disturbances to his love, he uses it in such a way that it becomes building blocks of character. He disciplines you and he works with you. He makes you more like the Son of God, because we're in a I don't want to use the word factory because it sounds awful, but we're in a molding process that we will become like Christ until Christ is formed in us. So the Christian really who serves God, who looks to God, no matter what goes on in his or her life, God's got you. God's covered you. And as long as you come to him and say, Lord, work in my life, he's working. And even when you say, I'm not going to work with God, God's still working in your life and gives you the ability to see Jesus' forgiveness in your life, and you begin to see how much God really loves you. If I were to ask you, what is your favorite story of love in the New Testament? Could be Old Testament, but just it's New Testament. For me, it's the prodigal son. And there's so many of us who are just mini prodigal sons and daughters, where we get to hear God, and we get to enjoy his presence. And then all of a sudden, we think we can do it without God, and we walk away from it all. And it comes a moment when you realize that what you've done is the foolishness, the greatest foolishness you've ever done, to walk away from that place where God could work in your life. So you repent, and when you come back, you don't see a God of justice with a sword in his hand, but you see the prodigal father loving him and making a feast and rejoicing, for this my son was lost, but now it's found. And Jesus threw a party. He will throw a party. He throws a party for you and for me when we realize that we've done wrong. That's the love of God. For God so loved the world. Oh, how we have to tell this to people around us, that Christmas is love, the love of God, and he loves everybody. Everybody. All right, I'll go ahead and say it. He loves Hispanics. He loves gringos. He loves Americans. He loves blacks. He even loves Mexicans. He loves Argentinians. Wow, that's a stretch. He loves every national. He loves everybody. There is no one that he does not love. Okay, I'm going to go. He loves the lesbians. He loves the homosexuals. He loves all the ABC, whatever it is lately. He loves them all and loves all of us so that we may know his glory and power. And so when an Argentinian, I'll use myself, comes to Christ, he changes him or her. And he puts life inside of his heart or her heart. And he or she begins to understand how life is to be lived. And we are what is known as born again. Chapter 3 talks about being born again of John. Those words that of John 3:16 are directed to Nicodemus. He says, how can this be? He says, you have to be born again, and you're born of the water and the Spirit. In other words, there's a transformation that takes place. That's God's love. And so I may remain with my nationality, but there's someone different that I've been transformed by the presence and the power of God's word in my life. And so whatever I was doing before, those things that honor God, I kept doing. But those things that I was dishonoring God, I stopped doing it. I have lost my appetite to go against God's love. Because see, if anything this morning, Christmas is love, God's love. God loves, cares for you, shows you the way, shows you the life, shows you that he will give you the truth that you need to live and succeed in this world. All right, so it's God's love. God comes and he transforms you. I mean, how can God's love not transform you? How can you present yourself in the presence of God and for you not to have changed it? Some people say, well, I've come to Christ, but I continue to live the way I used to. Something is wrong with that picture. Well, you may have a religion, but you do not have the relationship that we find happens in Scripture when you encounter the love of God in your life. So first, is love comes from the highest origin, and the spring that brings everything to you and to me is God's love. So God's love, he reveals himself as God's love, not coming to judge you. He comes to love you. And may I say, praise the Lord for his love. Amen. Oh, may God help us. And secondly, he does this to everyone. He makes no exception of people. Every person is accepted. No one is rejected. Everyone can come. One more thing before I move on. And it's this. Some people have this idea that some people are born to be saved and other people are not born to be saved. Some will be lost. And there's a doctrine going around called predestination, that God predestines you before the foundations of the world. But as you look carefully at that doctrine, you find that it's at fault, because that God knows everything you're going to do. You have free will, and he does not determine what you're going to do. Oh, yeah, he knows what you're going to do, but he does not determine what you're going to do. I now clash with some of historians and theologians, and I really don't care. It's just fun to clash with them, because it's not like you were born or predestined to die in your sins. No. You know, he sent his son, and the scripture says that he does not want anyone to perish, but wants all of us to come and repent in the presence of his good news. So there is no reason for you not to say, Lord, come into my life. You can do so, you may do so, and you can change the outcome by using your free will and saying, yes, Lord, work in my life, and he will never, ever, ever, ever cast you out. He will never say, no, I don't accept you. No, he will accept all of us all the time, no matter what. That's a great God we have. I'm telling you, for God so loved the world and everything in the world. Third thing that I want to mention, first one being is that it's the highest origin. Love comes from God. It is his love, not earthly love. Secondly, that it reaches the world in itself. But thirdly, the deepest manifestation of God's love is that he sent his son to die on the cross. I don't know how I can compare this. But when push came to shove and salvation was needed, God did not send the greatest angels he had around. He came himself. He came to do the job himself, the second person of the Trinity. We are Trinitarians, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. I've never been able to understand that. I don't need to understand it. Simply say it's there. There are some things that we will never understand, by the way. Did you know that? I mean, do you understand you? If you do, let me know, because you're a genius. There are some things that we just don't know. And some of us need to live in such a way that those things we don't know, we place in the hands of God. Like, why did I do what I did? Well, you did what you did because you had free will and you did it that way. But why wasn't God there to stop me? Because God's not there in the business to stop you. Ah, remarkable. But let me just move on. That Jesus Christ comes himself to do the job of loving and caring. And he sent, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Let's see. Somebody said, if you really want to show love to your wife, send her some flowers. Well, no, I think it takes a lot more than flowers. You need to go there yourself. You need to send yourself to her. And it's a completely different phenomena, isn't it? Of delegating love or just doing your love for yourself, expressing your own love. So the Lord doesn't do anything more than to send his only begotten Son. He's creator of heaven and earth. When you look at the credentials of Jesus Christ, second person of the deity, the Trinity, when you see that he made the worlds, he's the one who spoke the world, and to this day, the world's spinning where it's spinning because he sustains it with the power of his word. He was the word that became flesh. Oh, so much. I mean, this is a big one. I mean, you cannot get bigger than that. I mean, this is the second person of the Trinity. He's the one who came and became flesh for the strict purpose of dying on the cross for your sins and for mine. God's love knows no end. And he showed us how much he loved us by sending his only Son. Something he had to do himself. It was the only way that you and I could understand the love of God. And you see Jesus hanging on the cross, and there you see God's love for you and for me. And on the cross, the Son of God took your sins and my sin, for he was sinless in his life. He was tempted, but he did not sin. He was tempted like any other mortal would be, but he did not in any way, shape, or form sin. He was sinless. And as he was dying on the cross, he was taking your sin and my sin, dying for those sins on the cross. My life is different because of the cross. Your life is different because of Jesus dying on the cross. When the gospel is applied to your life, your sins are forgiven because someone paid the price for you. Not because God chose to evaporate them or say, okay, I'm going to forget you guys. No, he did not forget our sin. He put that sin on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid the ultimate price of dying for you and for me. He redeemed us from the debt that we had. It was all put on Christ. We can't imagine his walk on earth and his 3.5 years of ministry and all the things he had to put up with creation. But before he went to the cross, before he entered into that Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, oh God, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. Before he said, not my will, but your will, he had to put up with a whole bunch of stuff, didn't he? I think about it, and I said, I wonder what he must have thought of us, you know, rejecting him, for he was rejected. He came to his own, and his own rejected him. They did not receive him. The buffeting, the harshness, the persecution, the pain, the travailing. Isaiah says that when he was on the cross, there was no beauty on him. It was awful. It was terrible. the length of love. He could have called for 10,000 angels and he would have been rescued and we would all be damned. But he stayed on the cross because he loved you. Because he loved me. And he was God saying, I'm going to tell you how much I really love you. And like they say, when he said, how much I love you, he stretched out his hands and says, this is how much I love you. And he died on the cross for you. It's an amazing understanding of God's manifestation of love towards you and me. We will never be able to understand the depths and the depths and the width and the strength and the power of his love towards you and me. We will never be able to understand it. Somebody said that when we get to heaven, we'll see things in a clear way. Yeah, we will. But we will never stop learning about God, for God is infinite. We will never be able to understand everything about God. We can't. It's impossible. However, we will recognize Christ when we go to heaven, because we will see the scars and the nail prints in his hands, his feet, and the scar on his side. Did you know that Jesus Christ, the man, sits right now at the right hand of God? Jesus Christ became man, and he kept his identity as a human being, and he is the intercessor between you and God. He is our Savior. That's how much he loved you and he loved me, the Son of God. I'm not saying anything you don't know, but I hope that you're enjoying it as much as I am to know that Jesus loves me. And yes, it goes to my head at times. But why did he do all of this? We've already said it, but we'll repeat it again. The most profound purpose. He wasn't taking a tour. He came for one very precise purpose. I'll read it. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The issue at hand is that those of us who believe in him will not perish in hell, in eternal damnation. We don't hear much about that, do we? But it's true. When you die without the Lord, you have lost the opportunity of knowing a God of love beyond your wildest imagination. But when you come to Christ and you give your heart to him, he carries you throughout all of eternity. You will not perish. It's a double perish, because you will not perish here and you will not perish afterwards. Remember one day we were in the cemetery, and we've been there often through the crises that we've had in the last couple of years. I was adding up more funerals in my slate. It's close to 40 now in the last 2 years of people and friends. Thank God it's not all of us here. Some of us here, but some friends of mine and friends of friends. And I was in a service this Thursday. But prior to that, in one of the times in which I was in a cemetery in Forest Lawn, this gentleman who was a missionary had gone to be with the Lord, and he had preached on Sunday and died on Tuesday. So don't preach here, okay? So he went to be with the Lord, and I remember going to Forest Lawn. It was so wonderful to see everyone the bosses over there, all praying and thanking. And then this guy said, Dr. Courtney, I'm talking Asian history here. He said, you know, we have a good thing going for us. I said, I wonder what he's going to say. He says, not only does God work in our lives here, but when we're done here, he take us to glory. It's a good thing that we have here. For those of us who believe, we will not perish. We will have everlasting life. So I thank God for the privilege of knowing him. Because when I know the Lord, when I've asked God to come into my life and he's in my heart, I will not perish with the rest of those who reject God. There is a reward of sorts. It's eternal life in heaven with the Lord. Not a bad deal, my friends. Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all. When I'm in trouble, I call on him and he helps us. When I'm sick, he comes and heals us. When we trip and slip and slide, he picks us up. And And he takes care of us. When we're broke, he provides. When we're hungry, he gives us food. When we fight, well, he is our peace. The Lord is involved in our every aspect of our life, and we can be thankful for that. But then comes a moment that all of us will face when our eyes will be shut and we will breathe. We'll take the last breath, and that's it. There you are. You're gone. So people look at the remains and you say, wow, that's it. No. The body stays behind. It deteriorates. But you, the soul, the real you, you go in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, enjoying everlasting life in dimensions that we don't know here. We already have God's life. We already have his present life. We already have access to God. We already can claim God's presence in our life. We can go to him at any time. He communicates with us all the time. God's life is already in us, but there's going to come a time when we will enjoy, not perishing, but we will enjoy everlasting life with him. He said, you know, if it wasn't so, I would tell you, but in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I'm going over there to prepare one for you. Sometimes when, this is not scriptural, but I'll say it anyway. Sometimes when I look at the stars, I kind of want to figure out where I'm headed. Where is my mansion? Well, my mansion is going to be next to the Lord, as close to him as possible. It's not a physical place, but it's a spiritual place. But scripture goes on to tell us that this very body that we have, we'll resurrect. We'll come out of the grave. We'll come out of the dusts. And we will be, again, we will have a physical body, but it will be a glorified body that doesn't get sick. When was the last time you felt like you had a glorified body? Don't raise your hand, please, because we'll ask you, what are you eating, you know? But there are times when we feel our bodies are put down and stretched and tired and fatigued. We have a body that will never be fatigued, never will be tired, and it will be a body that will serve us to worship God throughout all of eternity. So we're not going to be like little ghosts, like Gasper, you know, floating around. No, no, we will put on this same body that goes down in corruption. It will be resurrected in incorruption. Are we going to recognize one another? I've always said yes, but don't worry, you'll find out very soon. Soon we will know. Soon we will know all the mysteries that we cannot assert, for the scripture gives us just an idea, a concept. But I tell you, everlasting life for the believer is a wonderful experience that all of us are waiting for. I can tell the Lord, don't rush it. I'll get there on time. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. But there are times that we long to be in the presence of the Lord. So let's talk about your family. Brother Sanchez, and concluding out, he's my visit in the hospital to him. He was not doing well. And he said that he felt so bad that he went and talked to the nurse and said, nurse, I don't feel good. Can you give me something so you can dispatch me? Words to that effect, you know. And Pat's a nurse, so she knows she's gotten those requests all the time. But anyway, I'm exaggerating the other time. But sometimes your body is so shaken and so out of whack that you want to be free from this body. And so the nurse said to him, I'm sorry, but I really can't do that. And this is why I'm mentioning it today, because I will never forget that. As long as I live, if it just be a couple of more years. Some of you are making bets, I understand. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. He said to the nurse, then I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. In pain, with a body that was in pain and discomfort and all the issues that come, I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. He waited just about a month or so, and then the Lord took him home at his time. two more people. We know John. John wanted to get out of his body faster than I've ever seen, you know. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Yeah, come on, God. Take me. Come on, take me. Take me. Take me, you know. And then some of you remember Sammy Mesa. Some of you, and he was very ill, and he would go into moments of coma. He would just go into a deep sleep, and one, his son is a minister from Assemblies of God, and anyway, long story short, he was sharing with me that in one of those moments, he came out of his coma, and he said, "What? What am I doing here? Where am I going to go home? Get me out of here." Those of us who believe in the Lord face death so differently because we already have tasted everlasting life. The Lord is in our heart. The Lord is in our heart. You know, I say this because it's a truth that you and I need to know this Christmas. That is a lot more than Christmas trees and lights and presents. Don't forget me. You never do. But you're getting a little bit too tense. I had to do that on purpose. It's a lot more than going to the mall and fighting for that phone or that new electronic stuff. Or Christmas is a lot more than eating. Oh, my God, am I going to have that turkey again? Dear God. You know the story about the turkey. I leave it where it is. If you don't know it, then you're lucky. It may very well be getting together with people you love. I think that's important. It may very well be getting together to thank God for his blessings. But Christmas offers the world eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins, a life that can be lived right, a life that is honored by all. So may the days of Christmas come to you with great joy, and may you share with others around you by saying, you know what Christmas is? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. It's Christmas in your heart. It's Christmas to the world. Joy of Christmas is people knowing Jesus as their Savior. You and I are ambassadors, and we need to get the word out. Yeah, again, thank God for the gifts. Thank God for all the presents. Thank God for all the stuff that's coming around and this and that and the other. But don't ever forget, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life, would not perish in our life here or in the life to come. Every solution to your problems is found in Christ. Every crisis is resolved with him. Everything you are can be summed up to God's love in you. Remember God's love. This is a great Christmas. I hope you're going to have a wonderful Christmas, because I plan to have a great Christmas thinking about God loving me. Huh. Like I said, how audacious, how arrogant to say, God loves me. Well, no. He revealed himself that way and he said, I love you. So you know what? I love him too. How many love the Lord today? So Lord, we thank you for loving us first. Because if we love you, it's because you loved us first. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, strengthen our resolve to be everything we need to be for you. Father, there's a world in need, a world that needs to desperately know that Christmas is your love. So use us as ambassadors. Use us so well, Lord, that we will be vessels for your glory, Lord, that we would show the world how life can be lived and should be lived. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand.
All our hope is in you.
Yes, all our hope.
All our hope is in you. All the glory. Messiah, name above all names. the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all, the Lord of all.
Can I hear a strong amen? Amen. A hand clap to the Lord, okay? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can go to our Facebook page by clicking on the link below. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.